Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
In other words, you and I can make the difference in someone's life.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with evangelist Jay John.
Whatever it means, whatever it is, whether it's to a neighbor, whether it's to an acquaintance, whether it's a random person, what can I do? How can I be a channel of goodness, a channel of grace, a channel to touch the lives of others? Do you ever occasionally get a prompting and remember someone you haven't seen for years? Yeah, doesn't that happen randomly? Well, where did that thought come from? Was it just a random thought, or was it a God thought? Was it God bringing that person to your attention?
Hear more from Jay John at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775. 238-5775. KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. Later down the hour, we are going to be speaking with Peter Vernica, who is running for this, our 19th congressional district seat, currently held by Jimmy Panetta. And this is your chance to get to know the candidate. So please call or text 238-KPRL, 238-5775, if you've got any questions for him. Today's guests will not include my baby girl, who apparently some of you heard cooing or fretting last week. She was indeed in the studio with me, but I kept that secret. I thought no one needs to know, but then apparently she made her voice heard. So maybe she'll be taking after her mama. But it's interesting. I had just having a family has made me so much more private. On many fronts, one of the reasons, I don't think I've said this before, but one of the reasons I deleted Twitter or X was for that very reason. So I had, you just don't think about your, I was a reporter. My work was all public. You don't really think that people are watching you specifically. You just kind of get used to, we've been on social media now since I was in college. So you're not necessarily thinking that anyone's necessarily monitoring you particularly. And I had added my married name to my Twitter page, even though I ultimately decided to keep my maiden name as my kind of public facing persona to protect my family, just in case I say things that left-wing people don't like, and we all know that there are some violent tendencies on the left that I know many people who are out there and they get death threats aimed at them and their families. I think everyone who's on the conservative side in the policy world has stories like that. I have not received that so far. But then on X or Twitter, I was mysteriously added to I was labeled, someone moved me to a list that was called fascists. It really unsettled me. I instantly removed my married name from from my name, and I thought, well, people are going to read into that. But I just thought I really don't want any kind of threat coming to my family. And then someone sent me a very creepy message, somehow found my personal email, and asked me if I lived in a certain town. And that just kind of ended it. I was very creeped out, and I just deleted Twitter. I don't regret it. I did think it was very, very bad for my well-being. Particularly, I would get so enraged about topics that are absolutely enraging, such as the grooming gangs in the UK. That's one. The horror stories of surrogacy, that's another. All these things I do care about, and I pray for the victims, and I pray for the lives that are involved, but I can't really control any of that. So anyway, all that to say, that tendency towards privacy is why I didn't introduce my little baby in the studio. And that brings up another point. Because I am not on the socials and I kind of stay off the internet on the weekends, we have so much to do all the time on the weekends on the ranch. I only just learned about Lindsey Graham's death this morning when I was checking for news in advance of this show. And it absolutely floored me. You just don't think of politicians. I mean, I guess he's old. He was 71. But nowhere close to the average age of the U.S. Congress. We have senators who serve even into their 90s. So anyway, he just was kind of a force. I didn't know him. I only spoke with him. I was a healthcare reporter, as you all know. So I only spoke with him when he put his name to a bill during the whole Obamacare repeal and replace movement, put his name to a bill authored by Bill Cassidy, who was just primaried out of his seat. But he'll be there until November or the end of the year, out of his Louisiana seat. But he was a doctor. He is a doctor. He came up with his alternative to the Republican ACA repeal, and Lindsey Graham added his name to it, and it was Graham Cassidy was what it was called. And you know, so we were all running after Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy, but Lindsey Graham did not really pretend to know anything about healthcare. He'd just be like, yeah, but he never knew any of the details about the bill other than kind of the very practical politicking and trading aspects of it. But he was an affable guy, and needless to say, he's a war guy. I am not. I am not a fan of hawkish interventionist policy like he was. But that's not to say you can't respect someone's journey. And his story was very, very much an all-American tale that we don't see much of anymore with all our consultant forged politicians. But he was born in the 1950s in a tiny, tiny town in rural South Carolina. His parents ran a restaurant and a pool hall. They died young. He then basically raised his sister, became her legal guardian. And I believe, I'm not sure if it's that sister, but anyway, his sister is apparently replacing him to finish out his term. He's up for re-election this year. He was also the first member of his family to go to college, and he received a law degree. He was the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee as the Senate Republicans kind of fast-tracked Trump's nominees for the Supreme Court. So anyway, just a little moment of tribute to Lindsey Graham. He was quite the character. All right. Before we welcome Peter to the show, I want to walk through the California propositions that are going to be on our ballot in November. They were all assigned numbers, so now we know what they are, and there are ways to get involved. Oh, before we go into that, this is really quick. Remember how I urged all of you to start calling in to our, well, I always do it. I always urge you to do this, but call into our local state representatives to talk about the bad bills. There are lots of bad bills. And it's very, very important, even though they don't usually listen, but they love to tell any opponents in the building in Sacramento that, oh, we're not hearing anything from our district about these bills. It's not that bad. Nobody really cares. Well, anyway, I called Dawn Addis and John Laird, our state senator and state assemblywoman. Dawn is from Morro Bay. And one of the bad bills was hers. It was one of the, it was a bill to make it discrimination, basically replacing biological sex with gender identity, which is so bad. And basically making it discrimination if doctors don't go along with transgender surgeries and hormones and what we call sex rejection surgeries, and also discrimination if insurance doesn't pay for it. Well, when I was going through the list and saying, you know, I oppose, and then I said, oh, this bill, AB 1876, you know, I know that she authored and I oppose it. And anyway, it turns out that the aide who answered the phone and was fielding my call was actually the aide who was responsible for shuttling that bill and taking care of any edits, tweaks, amendments, etc. And so he basically wanted to engage in a little debate about it. And but he was very polite. He said, you know, if you're interested, I think there are misconceptions about this bill. And I was in a hurry. I didn't engage. I wish I had, in retrospect, just said, you know, you just can't make biological sex gender identity. It's just very simple. I didn't do it because when people are speaking a completely different language, I'm not even sure if it's worth going round and round. I thought my, you know, simple opposition stood, and it had to be recorded. So anyway, urge you all to do that. It really just takes a couple of minutes. Have your list of bad bills. Hopefully you took notes for my show. I'm happy to do another show with the even more bad bills, and I'm also happy to direct you to a number of organizations that track what we should oppose. So anyway, all right, moving on to the California propositions. First, we got Proposition 40, big bag, bad one. This is the billionaire tax. And again, I don't really care about the tech billionaires. I really don't. They got our state into this one-party rule hellhole with their money, and now they're all fleeing what they created. But this bill really opens the door for this to hit the middle class. It would create a whole new department of just to track and monitor everyone's assets. And that could be turned on us at any time. The union behind it, SEIU, is absolutely insatiable. And there is nothing that they would not take. And they did include a provision within the ballot initiative that the legislature could expand this tax to other people. So no. But that is followed up by a good one, Proposition 41, audit new tax spending. This is so, so, so important because this would counter this Prop 40. So it would require state audits of programs funded by new taxes, badly, badly needed. It would also apply revenue from new taxes to the state spending cap, which requires that if revenue goes way up, it needs to go back to the taxpayers or towards education. And that would basically cancel out the whole purpose of the wealth tax proposal, which is to give Medicaid to illegal immigrants and that would help the SEIU, Union of Healthcare Workers. So anyway, that's a good one. Proposition 41, yes. Proposition 40, no. All right, another good one. This is the measure that was negotiated. This is a different one. But it's a good one. This is Proposition 42, and it would prohibit new personal property tax and retroactive taxes. This also would help gut the wealth tax if it passes. It would prevent new taxes on personal property that would offset the wealth tax. And if both Prop 40 and Prop 42 pass, then the one with the most votes prevails. So definitely don't miss voting on that one. All right, here's a bad one. Proposition 3, it would make the high earner income tax permanent. Remember that temporary income tax of up to 12% for people making over $360,000, I believe. And it's pouring tons and tons and tons of money into our schools, which are now taking $28,000 per pupil as scores and performance plummet. Anyway, Prop 3 would make that higher tax bracket permanent. Let's not do that. Let's fight against taxes. Listen, we really don't need... What's all this higher taxes gotten us? Look around. So Prop 3, no. All right, here is the good one. This was the one that was negotiated onto the ballot. It had already garnered the signatures to make it to the ballot. And instead of fighting it this time, for some reason, Gavin Newsom decided to negotiate some language. And then he and the legislators backed putting it on the ballot themselves. So this is Proposition 43. It would raise the threshold for any citizen-driven special tax ballot initiative to 2/3 vote. Right now, it's just a simple majority. Remember, Susan Shelley was on. She is with the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. She explained how this was a loophole. Prop 13 was supposed to have across the board any taxes needed a 2/3 majority. Any local taxes needed 2/3 majority to pass. However, a court ruled that if a tax initiative was quote unquote citizen driven, read special interest, then it only needed a simple majority. And then obviously that was gamed and this would fix that. All right. Another bad one. Bad, bad, bad. Proposition 1, an affordable housing bond. The state could borrow a record $11.25 billion for quote-unquote affordable housing, read subsidized housing, and they are trying to get this on the ballot by saying that $1.25 billion would help veterans buy homes. They always slip the veterans in there to get people to support something very bad. Obviously, this would go to all the little cronies who are making tons of money fraudulently on all the state affordable housing projects, city projects. Say no, say no. All right, another bad one is Prop 37. This would create a $25 billion mortgage loan program for home buyers. Again, this would just subsidize special interests and get the state deeper underwater with all our unfunded obligations. Proposition 2, a rainy day fund, a constitutional amendment from Democratic leaders, so it's always a bad idea, that would allow the state to deposit up to 20% of its general fund tax revenue into its rainy day fund. This is a way to keep money from taxpayers hoarding it into the government. Just say no. Just say no. This, Proposition 45, expedited environmental review, I'm going to say no because the people behind it are solar companies. So basically, the very, very cumbersome environmental reviews that hold up every project would be required to speed up for most housing, transportation, water projects, which I would support, but also for quote unquote clean energy projects, which are the windmills, which are the solar farms that are killing everything. Probably data centers too, who knows? So I'm just saying, I don't know, but I'm going to vote no on this, but you all do what you want to do on that one. Another good one, Proposition 39 on voter ID. This is a constitutional amendment that would require voters to present a government-issued ID when voting in person, or the last four digits of their ID numbers when voting by mail. Huge one that we absolutely need for our election integrity. And I just got an email from Reform California that they are looking for people in our area to canvass, just urge people to vote. I wouldn't even be reaching out to unfriendly people, just people who may need a nudge to actually vote. So anyway, you can learn more about that at Reform California. And let's see, there are a few more here. Proposition 5, recall election reform. This is a bad one. This would eliminate the election to pick a successor immediately if a state official gets recalled. Remember when Schwarzenegger was elected to replace Gray Davis? Now this would leave the post vacant and require a special election. So when the opponents are the Election Integrity Project of California, I think I agree with them. And then its supporters are California Common Cause, which is a total Marxist organization, and the Secretary of State, Shirley Weber. All right, there are two minor propositions left, clinic funding and immunology research bond. No to both of those. All right, stay with us, everyone. We will take a quick break, hear from our sponsors, and then we will be back speaking with Peter Vervica. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Trump wants the sister of Lindsey Graham to serve out the rest of the late senator's term. The decision is up to South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster.
Darlene Graham Nordone was largely raised by her brother after their parents died while both children were young, and she remained a constant presence in his life, often appearing at campaign events. A special election is set for next month to pick a new Republican nominee.
Fox's Jared Halpern, an immigration agent, killed a driver in Maine. ICE claims the migrant tried to use his vehicle as a weapon and ram agents.
Governor Janet Mills said in a statement she was briefed on the incident and knows these situations are alarming, but state and federal law enforcement are continuing to work with the Maine attorney generals and medical examiner's offices to determine the facts.
Fox's Grinnell Scott, America's listening to Fox News.
Live in concert at the California Mid-State Fair. Saturday, July 18th. Get tickets now at midstatefair.com.
Having a record year.
Funny how melody sounds.
Don't miss Eric Church.
Pulled out drink in my hand.
Saturday, July 18th at the California Mid-State Fair.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and joining me is Peter Vervica, candidate for the 19th Congressional District. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you so much, Susanna.
Thanks so much for coming on. All right, so I just would love you to just briefly introduce yourself to our listeners. Who are you? Where are you from? And maybe a quick pitch on why you're running for Congress.
Sure. Well, fifth generation California native, born on a cattle ranch or worked on a cattle ranch, lived on a cattle ranch in San Jose, California. I went to Santa Clara undergrad and law school, and I got a master's at MIT. I am a managing director and principal at Silicon Private Wealth. We're a registered investment advisor and fiduciary. I've also worked as an adjunct professor in the economics department at San Jose State University. Proud dad, four amazing daughters, the oldest of whom served in the U.S. Navy. And happy to tell you more, you know, involved like many in different civic activities. I'm the chair of the investment committee of the San Jose Symphony Foundation. Our family is closely associated with Henry Coe State Park, which is the second largest park in California and is named after my great-grandfather.
Oh, wow. Oh, I love that, since I'm married to a sixth generation cattle rancher. I think Heritage Californians really, we all need to step up, because the state gave our family so much, and people coming in today do not have the opportunities. You know, if you want to start a business, good luck. If you want us to get into ranching now, good luck. I'm very nostalgic for the California of my childhood. And I tell people who are super progressive who moved here yesterday, you know, policies you support, you should have seen what it used to be. So anyway,
if your husband needs any help heading or healing or opening gates or loading hay bales, I could probably, you know, lend a hand.
Sounds good. So I have a question which, you know, I never used to wonder about, but because I used to be very focused on national politics and not pay a lot of attention to local or state, and now it's the opposite. So what moved you to run for Congress when thinking about California's problems versus a state legislative seat, for example, or a local office? What was your thinking?
Well, I think there's a lot that needs to be fixed at the state level. You know, agriculture, you've got PAGA, the Private Attorney General Act, which allows litigators to go after and basically extort money from employers in California for the slightest of transgressions on these class action suits. You have CEQA, you know, the California Environmental Quality Act, which has caused the underbuilding of housing for over half a century. So there are a lot of things that could be fixed at the state level. There are some important levers related to the federal level. In particular, you know, one that penalizes the young and also legal immigrants is monetary policy. So, you know, we have a fiat currency, sort of, you know, quasi-fiat in that it can be exchanged for petroleum, but we just continue to print money, and it drives inflation, and it helps, well, at least affects those who have assets, you know, property owners, business owners, owners of stock, but it affects debtors. So it allows the federal government to pay back, you know, the money it owns with cheaper dollars. But it affects pensioners and the elderly. And so that's really a federal policy, this kind of wild-eyed printing of money. I think it's well-intended, you know, quantitative easing, but it effectively bars the next generation from, it raises the price point for the next generation so that they can't become stakeholders and they become disenfranchised. And what happens is that we've done a very poor job of educating the disenfranchised, the young and also renters, of why certain policies are not in their best interest, including communism.
I hardly agree. It's like subsidies have made everything, and inflation have driven us into this wildly expensive, unaffordable world that we're in. And then they say, oh, the only fix is seizing everything and subsidizing everything.
That's right. So I put together a 25-point federal plan to help make California more affordable again. And what I see time and time again for the next generation is they are in California. They have very difficult pathways to ownership, you know, especially single-family residences. And I would say, you know, the printing of money has impacted them greatly, but also, you know, there are a litany of state policies at the root of the crisis as well.
Peter, I'm going to interrupt you there just because we have a caller coming in. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to ask the candidate, he's battling Jimmy Panetta's name recognition. What are you doing to overcome that? Because Jimmy has disappointed us. Leon Panetta wasn't a bad Congress person until he started attacking Trump. And now, Jimmy, he was part of the ones that tried to take Trump down by, you know, every means and method that they could find. But anyway, you're not going to succeed in the Democratic areas using anti-Democrat. You know that. So what are you going to do to appeal to the large Democrats and Jimmy Panetta's name recognition?
Thanks for that question. Peter, did you hear that?
I sure did. That's a great question. One thing I'm going to do is participate on radio shows as a guest with wonderful people like Susanna. So, you know, I did get some recognition being a part of the KSBW-TV interview. And what I loved about KSBW-TV is they actually took what I said and didn't alter it. I can't say that the Mercury News or the San Francisco Chronicle were as kind when I ran for Board of Equalization. The other thing we're doing is, you know, we have resources like email addresses. We're using social media tools that you may or may not have exposure to, you know, some of the social media outlets that we're engaging with. So I have a dedicated social media person. I did a press release fairly recently, kind of calling Jimmy Panetta out on the ice and asking for a televised debate. And I suppose, not surprisingly, I haven't heard back. But one thing we can do, I think, is, and I've done some press pieces on this issue, is we can really educate the moderate voter that Jimmy Panetta's policies are not moderate. So if you look at H.R. 28, you know, that was an 11th Congress, 2025 Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. Mr. Panetta reportedly voted no. If you look at H.R. 22, which is the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, the SAVE Act, that requires documentary proof of U.S. citizenship to register to vote in federal elections. Mr. Panetta reportedly voted no. If you look at H.R. 3492, the Protect Children's Innocence Act, which criminalizes certain gender-affirming medical procedures for minors, Jimmy Panetta reportedly voted no. So I think educating, you know, the electorate of how this supposed moderate is voting, not as a moderate at all.
Yes, education is key. And also getting people to turn out in the midterms as well.
And vote
for the whole ballot. I that's one thing that I really harp on this show, because
there's statistics around Republican voting, and it's really disappointing in the primary. So
how did you perform in the primary? Obviously you advanced. What did that look like?
I did, you know, roughly a quarter of, you know, of the vote. It was a split ticket. So there was a non-Republican who was persuaded by a schism within the Republican Party to run against, you know, a quote, establishment Republican. And so you had a person who changed his party in December and ran for CD19 as a Republican. So you split the Republican ticket. So we were lucky that we have a Republican in the general for CD19. And I think that's one of the problems, that sometimes Republicans can be their own worst enemy.
Well, certainly we saw that in the Los Angeles mayor's race. Spencer Pratt could easily have won if Republicans who registered to vote had simply turned out.
Yeah.
It's just very, very frustrating, but yeah. Well, and this district is interesting because it's pretty purple. If you look at where... when I was looking at the breakdown, a lot of the statewide offices went Republican in our district, our area, or I guess our county. I shouldn't say a district, and this district includes pretty liberal areas as well as San Luis Obispo County. But I do want to ask, have you gotten to know any of the Republicans, or do you know any Republicans sitting in Congress now from our state who you think that you would like to align with or team up with on kind of mitigating California policy? I'm thinking of Kevin Kiley, who was kind of forced to run as an independent to keep his seat, and he is advancing also in a race where they were hoping with the gerrymander to box him out completely. But he's done a lot of accountability work on the high-speed rail and spending. He was behind the voter-driven criminal justice reform to tighten penalties again. But anyway, any Republicans from California that you think are doing a really good job on the federal level?
Well, I'll tell you, I was disheartened when, you know, Kevin Kiley elected to change his party status. We've certainly seen others do that, McPherson and the gentleman that ran for state insurance commissioner. You know, you've got Tom McClintock, Vince Vaughn, you know, is a, I think, a clear-eyed...
Oh, I love Vince. Yeah, I love Vince.
Certainly, you know, Young Kim, you know, so I would say there are great mentors that certainly I would turn to for.
We are just approaching our next ad break, so we'll have to jump back into that after these messages. Stay with us, everyone. You're listening to Free Talk California. We are speaking with Peter Verbica, who is running for Congress for in the seat currently held by Jimmy Panetta. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages kicking off the new trading week lower on escalating Iran tensions. Oil prices rose, driving inflation fears, with West Texas Intermediate crude nearing $78 a barrel. Energy stocks rose as the price of oil spikes. Tech was the worst performing sector, with memory chip makers leading the charge. Shares of Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing fell over 2%, despite the chip manufacturer reporting record revenue for June, but that wasn't enough to breathe life into the faltering AI trade. TSMC is slated to report its second quarter earnings on Thursday. The Dow winners, Salesforce, Visa, and Microsoft. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Goldman Sachs, and NVIDIA. The Dow falling 138 points, the NASDAQ lower by 408, S&P 500 down 60. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer, where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect, and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finish work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. We are speaking with Peter Verbica, who is the Republican candidate for the 19th Congressional District seat. So, Peter, you kind of answered this when we're chatting about monetary policy and inflation, but what's your domestic policy of where you'd be most focused?
So, for me, as a father, I really care about housing. So I think there are things that the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development might be able to do. We could look at, you know, some tax credits. We could reform the National Environmental Policy Act to streamline federal land development. We could look at funding scalable modular housing technology. We could pilot CEQA-exempt housing projects on federal land. We could create federal grants for local governments that upzone. On fuel and transportation, we could standardize clean fuel blends nationally instead of having these you know, bespoke reformulations here in California that drive up our gas price in addition to, you know, all the gas taxes that California adds over 62 cents, I think.
And I don't know why more people aren't talking about that.
About our blended fuel?
Standardizing it so we're not on this little energy island here.
Yeah, I'm all for that. You know, we're having refiners leave the state, right? So you've got less refiners processing the special winter and summer blend, and the environmental benefits are dubious. So, you know, there are things we could do, certainly using federal money for grid hardening. I think we should look at maybe the feds being involved in wildfire reinsurance or a bond market. Because, you know, insurance rates here are insane. And a lot of people, you know, or me included, were scuttled from their policies. I don't think we do enough for fuel reduction of on federal forest lands. I'm in a heavily wooded area in Santa Cruz County. And I just look at all the timber and just dread, the specter of wildfires. So there are probably some intelligent ways to do selective timber harvesting. The other thing that's really been a disappointment is that California voters have consistently approved bond measures, multi-billion-dollar bond measures for expanding water reservoir infrastructure, and yet for some reason California hasn't built a new reservoir in 50 years, and in fact is in the process of taking some out. We could look with more earnestness at desal. I attended a water policy meeting in Monterey and listened to some of the suggestions around desalinization. I think we are very hard on agriculture, and there are things that the USDA can do to help the ag industry. We probably need to look at the Environmental Species Act and reforming that to balance, you know, water use needs with environmental benefits, you know, saving three smelt versus, you know, letting millions upon millions of gallons go out into the ocean.
Yeah.
I think we could look at preempting harmful labor regulations for interstate commerce. I think we could maybe look at establishing safe harbor employment categories for startups, gig workers and ag employees. We should definitely hold hearings on the economic impact of PAGA, which, you know, I get a lot of folks from various businesses concerned about and having to defend. These are large expenses that penalize the consumer and penalize the employees of those companies. I think I like this idea of repatriating U.S. manufacturing. We certainly have seen where overdependence on Taiwan related to the chip industry, the consequences of that under the watch of both sides of the aisle. There are probably some things that the SBA could do in terms of legal and compliance resources for small businesses. So I think, and in addition, you know, you can utilize the office as a bully pulpit to advocate for more pro-business policies. California has been an amazing exporter of corporate headquarters in states like Texas and elsewhere.
Our top export, one might say.
Exporter of the middle class. We had we had the largest drain of human beings from California versus any other state. And South Carolina, I think North Carolina was the top importer, and then South Carolina. Yes. So anyway, that's kind of a whirlwind overview of some of the things that we could do.
This,
I also think, you know, you're kind of values oriented, and I think, you know, you kind of, if you walk all this back and you say, what's wrong? Why is all this happening? You could argue, oh, gee, did we stop teaching Western Civ in college and in high school? And so maybe we could re-examine those enduring principles like the rule of law, property rights, you know, citizenship, contracts, open debate, due process, those things that are connected with Western civilization and the values that the Judeo-Christian tradition and Greco-Roman traditions bring. Those should be taught rather than erased in schools.
You sound like you went to a classical school.
Well, I went to Bellarmine and Santa Clara undergrad and Santa Clara Law School. That being said, I was baptized Episcopalian, so I may be Catholic light.
Catholic light. Were you at Santa Clara with Gavin Newsom?
I don't think so. I think he has a lot more hair on his head. I think he's younger than I am.
You mean you missed his stellar baseball career there?
Doggone it. You're bringing a tear to my eye.
All right. We just have a couple minutes left. I want to... sounds like a dramatic question, but it doesn't need to be. What do you think the gravest danger facing Americans, or what do you think is the gravest danger facing Americans that you believe federal lawmakers need to face and deal with?
That's a great question. I worry about communism, and I think there, and it's its cousin, socialism. So I would say I'm very much against communism. I wish more would be taught Econ 101. There's a great book by a Harvard professor, Richard Pipes, on property and freedom. And he basically talks about utilitarians versus utopians. And he speaks to the sad fact that utopians, like communists, deliver death and poverty. And mm-hmm. I think we could do a better job of educating the next generation on the consequences of communism. I do think, Sharia law concerns me.
Same, you and me both.
We are a country based on a Judeo-Christian tradition,
and with that, we've got a wrap on that very big topic. Thank you so much, Peter, for coming on. Hopefully you can come on again before the election. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. You were listening to Free Talk California. We were chatting with Peter Furbica. Google his campaign website. We didn't get that to learn more about him. And just take care of yourself. Enjoy the fair, which is starting this week, and maybe I will see you there. All right, talk to you next week.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night.
ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.